I actually got to catch a workshop that was, you know, permaculture 101. It's the demonstration of what permaculture can do on, you know, at any scale, really. So,
hello and welcome to the Permaculture Vine podcast. My name is Cormac Harkin, and I'm delighted to welcome Sean Stanton on the show today. Welcome, Sean.
Hey there, nice to be with you here, Cormac.
Hi, and I'm glad that we get to share a story. I always forget to do this, but I forgot to ask for a like, a subscribe, and a comment below. I always leave it at the end, obviously make a mistake. That would be great if you get value to this, to just give us some feedback. That would be fantastic. Sean, let's start at the start. So permaculture, when did it first come into your life? When did you first hear about it?
About right when I had just turned 18. I was heavily into like the music festival culture, and you know, I'm a musician, and I would go to a lot of music festivals, you know, since I was 15 through 18. And I actually got to catch a workshop that was, you know, permaculture 101. And anyways, after that festival, I got connected with my local permaculture people, and they kind of showed me the ropes. And as soon as I, you know, really understood what the power of permaculture, I looked up PDCs online and in person. And in 2014, I ended up taking my first PDC at the Central Rocky Mountain Permaculture Institute with Jerome Ossentowski and Adam Brock as the instructors. And then pretty much as soon as, I completed that PDC, I hit the ground running, started up my own design company in Kansas City called Integrated Earth Design. And, you know, throughout that time, I've had the privilege to design and develop from the ground up 10 permaculture farms, and anywhere from small backyard urban, you know, farms to large 34-acre community education centers. And so it's been a long journey, and you know, I'm still learning. And I would say the meaning of permaculture still continues to instill many new insights every year, and it's been an exciting journey.
Yeah, so that sounds like we're going to have a lot to talk about there. So let's take it back to the point where you sort of picked up permaculture and you decided to do a PDC. Was there anything in particular that inspired you to do the PDC?
Yeah, actually, I mean, I became a father at a young age. I was 20 when I found out I was going to be a dad. I was 21 when I went to take my first PDC, and a lot of that inspiration came from, you know, wanting to give my you know, upcoming firstborn a better world to live in. And I just found that permaculture really kind of showed me a way to create that better future. So it really, that's what it came down to, is just wanting to provide a better space. And obviously I got really into food as well at the same time, healthy food, organic food. And so I knew the only real way to do that was growing my own. And so permaculture as a, you know, design practice, and, you know, just the lens in general, kind of provided me that guidance into creating that was, you know, my first urban farm was at the house my son was born. And, you know, we actually did reach about 95% self-sufficiency, and it was just me and him at the time. So that was like, that was the real fire for me, was, you know, trying to provide a better future for my son. And right. Now I have two more boys. And so.
Yeah, fatherhood will definitely motivate you.
Oh, yeah.
So you're on the fire, you're 95%. That's quite a high number.
Yeah. Like a educated guess, I would suppose. I didn't hit the market for 3 months, so.
Yeah. So you were, so you're living on the land, you're farming, you're growing 95% of your own food, and you've just done your PDC. So it's like a dual education. What was the PDC? Was it a 2 week long one or was it stretched?
Yeah, it was
out?
A 2 week intensive. I got to camp on site, you know, amongst all the mountain lions and bears and
I'd rather you than me.
It was pretty intense. I actually did hear the bears come up to our tents. A few others heard them too. But yeah, we were in Basalt, Colorado, right at the bottom of the Basalt Mountain there. And it was a 2 week intensive. We got a lot of hands-on experience, you know, building the real permaculture 101, building swales and hugelkultur mounds. And we did a compost toilet setup, and we had a gray water instructor. It was kind of a special PDC, honestly. He had three tropical greenhouses, one really large one, which was called the Phoenix at the time. But anyways, he's gone on. Jerome, the owner of what we call Crimpy, Central Rocky Mountain Permaculture Institute, he went on to write books on polycultures and greenhouse. I forget the name of it. It's kind of a bit evading me right now. But so we got a lot of hands-on with the passive solar greenhouse design as well. It was a really great experience.
So how did the PDC influence you on your farm, your own farm then?
Well, you know, it's for me, especially at the time, it was a quite the magical experience being for the first time, you know, getting to walk barefoot through one of the North America's oldest food forests, you know, fruit trees 15 foot tall and just completely filled with all of, you know, complete with edibles and, you know, all the wildlife and everything. And just that sense of community, you know, everyone, we were just all having a really good time. We would obviously do a lot of learning throughout the day, but at night it was obviously a big party, a conscious party, I'd say. That sense of community and just connection to the land. And I don't think I've ever been more nourished in my life. We had like three meals a day from the land there. Obviously it was all plant-based, and they did end up serving some rabbit that they had there on site. But those meals, I still think about those meals every day, you know, just it's that sort of it's that connection that I, you know, sort of yearn for and want to bring here on site on our own property. And of course, we got some raw land and, you know, starting from the ground up. So we got some years ago. That was a 26-year-old food forest at the time. It was magical.
What kind of stuff then did you implement on your farm from the PDC?
Well, I would say, one of the biggest, you know, as far as like inspirations from my time at the PDC and what I want to implement here on the land is probably, we aim to do a lot of education on our site as well. We might be hosting PDCs. I've definitely considered it. I've been invited to do a lot of PDCs in the area. And so I'm considering just doing those and doing a little bit different here on our property. But ultimately, it's the demonstration of what permaculture can do on, you know, at any scale, really. So we're working on creating, you know, anywhere from implementing like a small backyard kitchen garden to a perennial food forest that can feed, you know, at least a dozen people. And then we have a market production. We have a market garden, which I've developed, you know, with all the newest marketing, market farmer production, you know, like John Martin Fortier or Curtis Stone. They're all kind of using, you know, kind of taken from their examples as well. There wasn't much annual production where I took the first PDC. It was mainly perennial agriculture there. That he did obviously integrated annuals throughout the food forest and everything, but not much annual gardens. So the beauty, the aesthetics, the function of the food forest that I got to witness there at my PDC, I'm trying to bring that back here, that same sense that I experienced during my PDC. And so when we come to invite community here, you know, I want to be able to feed them off the land. So my idea here is, you know, to do like farm tour to table experience. So, you know, throughout the walk, they could be experiencing the perennial fruits and vegetables. And then at the end of it, you know, my goal is to put it on a plate and we can all experience that together. So yeah, that kind of walk through food forest experience, with the experience of that food on a plate is kind of more or less what, you know, I'm taking away from that experience, and implementing here.
That's class. We can dive more into that in a wee minute. But if you go back,
there's a lot more.
Yeah. You said about your first PDC. Have you a number of PDCs?
Yeah, I've taken, technically, I guess just two, but there's two parts to the second one. So I took an online PDC with Matt Powers. So I completed the first portion of that, which is just your typical PDC format. And then it goes on to an advanced permaculture design course. And I did complete that. And the main difference there is just that, you know, obviously in the PDC, you kind of learn all the basics, the design, you know, principles and the ethics of permaculture. And then you implement that on a design and that's how you pass your PDC, is you put it into design. Well, the advanced permaculture is putting that design into practice and making it reality. And so it was actually during the time where my wife was there at the time, where we were developing that 34-acre permaculture education center. And that was my advanced permaculture design certificate project. So implementing that was how I got my advanced PDC. And, you know, I've taken various courses on the, you know, permaculture is kind of this like umbrella of all these practices, you know, whether it's like holistic management or even the Regrarians platform, which is very similar to holistic management. And then, like organic market farming production, I've taken a few courses on that the instructors are heavily influenced by permaculture design. And, you know, like Richard Perkins, I don't know if you're familiar with his work, and taking a few of his courses as well.
Courses. His courses are very, I like, he provides numbers, he provides figures, he provides a lot of business detail there, which is,
farming enterprises.
Yep. Which I think is really good. Right. So you've your two PDCs, you're working on the land. What gets you into designing then for other people?
Sorry, ask that again.
When did you start designing for other people then?
From pretty much from the get-go, March 2015. So I took my first PDC in August of 2014. And so I went through that winter just studying, and even I got into business planning and stuff at that point. And then March 2015, so that's the next spring, I ended up launching my first permaculture design business, and it was called Integrated Earth Design. And it still kind of more or less continues today, but anyways, yeah. So from the get-go, I was, you know, I had a handful of neighbors who saw that what I was doing in my backyard. You know, the fall of 2014, I completely transformed my backyard into, you know, I even got chickens and everything. Within 2 months, it was completely transformed. My neighbors caught on to seeing what I was doing. I ended up starting three little urban micro farms, you know, mixed practices, whether it was market production or food forestry. And so, and then I ended up getting picked up by a local nursery called Antioch Urban Growers, which is actually where I met my wife. And they had a pretty large network of urban growers, people that were interested in backyard growing. And I ended up getting to manage, they took me on as management to help manage the greenhouse and urban farm there. But I ended up, I mean, it took off. I ended up doing a lot of consulting and design work. I've done multiple, probably just a little over 100 designs at this point, from, anywhere from backyard gardens to, like I said, larger scale operations. And so, yeah, starting in 2015 is when all that began. And, obviously, I started with hand rendered drawings and just like, and I met you at Food Forest Abundance. So you were probably, almost 10 years into my, well, I guess, yeah, let's see, 8 years into my design practice. So by the time I got to Food Forest Abundance, it was, a much more solidified business for my, for me at the time. So.
Yeah, you seem to have done quite a bit there, which is good. So
Yeah.
you're definitely loving the lifestyle. And so any business advice for people? You say you have a market garden, you've ran urban farms, you've worked for other people. Apart from just get up and do it, is there any advice you would give to people looking to forge out a career in
Yeah.
permaculture?
Stick with the principle, take it, start small, work slowly. I took way too much on. Obviously I was a young gun. And I'm only 30, but I've entrepreneurship, it'll burn you to the ground. It's not an easy thing, but it's definitely, a really rewarding thing. And even if it burns you to the ground, you come back as resilient as ever, just like we do in, controlled burns on the ground. But it's like I would just recommend sticking to your passions. It's like what's wonderful about permaculture as a design practice is it's kind of like this universal tool that we can apply at really any kind of scale. And so just start with the basics, getting into small urban backyards, and like I said, yeah, it's slow and small, keep it simple.
And you say you started with hand drawings there. Have you moved on to the digital drawings now?
Oh yeah, no, it's changed my life. I mean, it's night and day. Like, I mean, I would spend just countless hours, and I'm kind of a perfectionist. I'm also an artist, so it's like I wouldn't just do basic hand renderings. It would be artistic renderings, with all the coloring and detail, and it's wonderful, but I never charged enough. So that's another thing, is just know your worth. Yeah, before you even get started, come up with a plan and figure out what kind of income you want to make, whether it's a side job or full time. Just really stick to the plan, and yeah, don't veer from it too much. I it's so easy. Like in my own journey, I've stuck with the same vision more or less, but the way I'm getting there, with all these different business plans and endeavors I've been into, it got really complicated and just too many things going on at once, and it didn't allow me to be as effective, whether it was in my communication, my design, or all of the above. Like, if you just keep it simple, stick to, one aspect to your business as you're getting started, and then scale into the other things. That's what I didn't do. I tried to scale into it all at once. As an educator, designer, father, musician, artist, I have a lot going on personally, so that kind of gave me a unique experience. But what I can share is, yeah, just starting simple and build it slowly, and it'll all fall into place.
Yeah, that's great advice. Let's hope people take it. Right,
Yeah, hope
so
so.
you're in where are you now? What are you doing in terms of all them businesses? You says you had a market garden there. Can you tell us about
Yeah,
your current property?
I guess I'll just start from getting where we are now. Back in 2020, when COVID was real big, my wife and I, we decided to leave Kansas City. We want to leave the big city scene, and we had been looking for land for like 2 years. before all that. And we ended up coming across like the dream property, right? You know, it's every Permian out there is dreaming of that property. And we fortunately landed on it. And so we've really taken our time. Is some raw land. There was nothing here. Ended up, we were off grid for about 9 months or so. Maybe it was more like 6 months. Yeah, it felt like a long time. You know, we had a generator and a newborn and everything through the winter. It was fun. So I did take some time to just kind of get, you know, figure out what we were going to do on this property. I didn't want to rush into anything when we got here. So obviously we had to start with infrastructure, and we did land on a property with a large natural spring. So we got water, and then it brought in electricity. And so no longer off grid, but we'll work our way back to that. So, you know, I had a pretty extensive background in market production, obviously permaculture design. And I realized I didn't want to do any of those anymore. I felt like I had to choose one or the other, because to scale either one, it was just, you couldn't do both and be, in my mind, a healthy, functional person. And I went with all the stresses and everything in everyday life. I ended up developing an autoimmune symptoms, I'll call it, you know, with psoriasis and all that. So I had to really take the time to reflect, and I didn't want to run myself into the ground anymore. So essentially, you know, just taking the time to, obviously, like I said, reflect on all this. And what we've come up with is, you know, we put our focus on growing food for our family first and foremost. And so, and we've done that, and we got a 6,400 square foot market garden, and surrounded with the perennial food forest, kind of orchard style, but we're going to do it a lot more wild. I decided to do it a little bit more linear, just for management purposes, to demonstrate even perennial market production. So, you know, just, you know, and we'll get into this more, but it's, you know, over time I started kind of gaining a whole new sense on how to, you know, what I like to call established roots, you know. And so that's what I really focus on here, is like, what's going to serve our family the most, and, you know, ultimately our kids moving on into the future, and what's going to allow me to feel healthy and strong in my work. And so one of my biggest passions is education and sharing all of this stuff, and especially in the garden. If I get anybody to walk in the garden with me, they know I just go on and on. So yeah, I mean, what it's all led to, all that time of reflection, was that, you know, I kind of want to do it all still, but more in the lens of demonstration. So we set up like a market garden, market style garden, that we're basically producing food for our family first and foremost. And then we'll either sell the at a little farm stand off our road, which is gets a lot of traffic, or like I kind of mentioned earlier, I was alluding to the what I want to do is like farm tour to table experience. So like taking a tour of the farm and then ending it with a shared meal together. So that's like the base of what we're doing on our property, is just, you know, we're gonna grow as much as we can and kind of demonstrate how, you know, our growing practices and everything I've learned over the last decade. And and, you know, as far as design goes, I've really, my focus now is more on consulting. You know, I still want to guide people through their own design process. I've just taken the sort of, you know, I'm still in that time where I've stepped back and I'm not really taking on design work anymore at the time, you know, and just focusing on creating our demonstration site here and then sharing that. And now I'm at the point where I'm going to be creating a lot more content to share, you know, whether it's video or even writing a book, which we'll share more on. But yeah, so that's really where that's all going, is more just education and demonstration on what's possible.
Right. I think it's good there, to the point you touched on, that you're stepping back, because tend to rush on these things. And then if you're trying to design and then install as well, and all that thing, it takes a lot. But it's good that you can step back and bring that 10 years experience to the big picture and help people. Mm-hmm. So what kind of education are you talking about? On-site education, online education?
Yeah, actually, my goal is to do both. I see that. I mean, there's just a huge, there's a huge opportunity to just pair the two. You know, as long as I'm doing the work here, you know, it's like modern technology makes it so much easier. My plan is to do a lot of video education, like content, to put on my website, and maybe eventually some like mini courses and stuff. But I do want to do mostly like on site. My goal is to just, you know, do as much as I can for my local community and then showcase that online, so people can see that and even duplicate that in their own areas. Because I mean, you know, it's, we need everybody to, you know, go through the vine, the permaculture vine, and you know, reap the fruits that, you know, it provides, because there's just so much to be done. And you know, if all of us were putting the word out, it'd make it a lot easier, I think.
Give us your links when you're ready to go, and we can share them
with
our audience.
Yeah,
no problem,
almost there.
And that's great. So are you is this a relaunch of your business now? Is that what you're...
Yeah, more or less. And I've kind of found that to be a, you know, over the last 10 years, it's kind of been a pattern. You know, it's, we all kind of shed old versions of ourselves, you know, and like I said, I hit the ground running when I learned permaculture, and I didn't take the time to step back and reflect until just this last couple of years. You know, I just basically was just taking opportunities as they arose and didn't even like take the time to really think about them. And I got in myself into a lot of situations that were extremely challenging to be in and also to get out of. Yeah, definitely big lessons there. And so anyways, it's just over time, my vision has kind of stayed the same, but the way I'm getting there has changed many times. I've attempted to launch previous things and completely failed, and that's okay. My mode of operation is to fail forward. Failing forward is really been the pattern I've, you know, kind of stuck with. And I'm feeling really confident though this time. You know, like I said, I put a lot of work and thought, and you know, lately I've been, you know, I'm a full-time employed HVAC technician currently. So I gotta be, my goal is just to have this like graceful exit or reemergence back into my permaculture lifestyle. You know, this is, and I'll just share, this is the first year in 15 years that I haven't gardened. But because of how we set it up, even in our annual production, the garden is still producing. Like we even have rows of tomatoes and cucumbers planted directly where they were last year. I let some rot on the ground. Definitely not or anything like that. So this new launch is going to be very meticulously calculated. It has been this whole time. So, you know, this podcast actually is, I wouldn't even say early for my launch. I would say within the next week, I'll be coming out with a lot more, and my newsletter will be getting an update. anybody listening, if they want to sign up, that'd be a great way to see when this all launches, and expect it to happen in the next week or two. So yeah, I'm just getting really excited for it and put a lot of time and effort into it.
Well, that's great. We'll leave that link to sign up in the description. So if anybody wants to sign up for that, just look at the description. And
yeah, for sure. Yeah, it'll be on my website.
And we'll try and give Sean as much support as we can. And so you mentioned there you're going to write a book as well. Is that on the long finger, or have you started it yet?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of funny. It's, you know, it's really kind of written in my head already. But no, the manuscript, like fully written in my head. But the manuscript it's started. I'm having, you know, like I said, I am full-time employed as an HVAC technician, and I'm on call quite frequently, and don't get home till past midnight sometimes. And so I've been really constrained with my time. So, you know, part of my launch with my online business is to help essentially kind of crowdfund the final writing of my book. And that would, you know, that'll happen this fall and winter. I'd say by the end of winter, I should have it ready for pre-order. So it's, you know, it seems like, and I've been writing, and even my book has changed over time. You know, the book started with this concept from my the Permaculture Education Center, which was a physical education center on 34 acres out of Independence, Missouri, we were creating. And I was working on a book at that time, and I called it Teaming with Permaculture. And so, you know, as this whole vision I've had about us all kind of coming together, you know, from all directions, and utilizing these modern tools to create the abundance, you know, we all and our children deserve. And so, you know, there was a little bit of fantasy in that, but kind of realistic fantasy that, you know, of this vision I've had of how we can utilize permaculture to create a more abundant and regenerative future. And so my current book is more or less the same, but, you know, I've really dove into studying indigenous cultures, specifically North American indigenous cultures, and all around the world, really, and looking at the patterns of longevity and just overall health, and just the sheer amount of abundance that was created out of these indigenous cultures. I mean, even just the Amazon rainforest, you know, it's like what they've discovered is that it's just one large food forest. And North America, when it was found, it was very similar. And, you know, so taking a look at those ancient and even modern cultures and implementing them with more modern technologies like permaculture, holistic management, and all of that. And, you know, trying to form a culture that we can actually work together and not, you know, butt heads. It's like, there's a lot going on with the whole decolonization movement and permaculture. And there's kind of like, I don't know if you caught up on all this, you know, or if caught a glimpse of this, but it's like there is some backlash from indigenous cultures on permaculture about being this like colonizer movement or cult culture. And so my work with that book is to kind of put that to rest, lay that to rest, and offer us a way to move forward that does honor and does not appropriate on these indigenous cultures. And so it's a big piece. It's a conversation piece. And that's why I've created like an online community. And, you know, hopefully I'll have a podcast kind of like this, where we'll talk about all this. The book that I'm writing, yeah, like, and I'll just share the title. It's called Roots Create Culture, which is the name of my website as well. And essentially, you know, it's just, there's so much to be said. It's hard to, especially even in a podcast like this, to get all get all of it out. And so my goal with the book is to just kind of set the tone for the conversation that we all could have to move forward in a more like harmonious way, is the way I see it. So hopefully it works out.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I'm sure it will. I think these things are good to chat about. We tend to, I know Rakesh, in I think episode 5 talked about the decolonization of permaculture.
Right.
For us at Vine, we sort of tend to, it's about education, business, and yeah. entrepreneurship. We're trying to showcase that. Right. Try not to get, because these things can be very controversial.
Oh, yeah.
And we sort of tend to stay away from it, but we're not afraid to talk about it. It's just for our audience. We're trying to keep it very focused.
Right. And I believe that there's even in the act of decolonization, and I kind of want to showcase this in my book, that in the realm of entrepreneurship and business development in permaculture, or regenerative ag or holistic management and grazing, whatever it might be, it's all the same to me. But anyways, that, you know, when we, and I'll just say it, it's like when we act and live indigenously, we tap into those like native and, you know, local streams of value. And when you can find a niche, a passion, or something that is derived from your place, you know, your local place, you can actually create businesses that are in right relation to the local and native habitats and cultures and people, so that we can move forward harmoniously and not, you know, like it. Yeah, I mean, the term that just always comes up is appropriate on indigenous cultures, and that's kind of like the biggest backlash with permaculture, I would say. So anyways, when it comes to developing business and stuff, I truly believe that it is possible to, yeah, like I said, just come to start from the beginning in right relation with that. And obviously, I don't think any native or indigenous person of color, doesn't matter, would disagree with the outcomes of especially perennial permaculture design, just because, I mean, that's the practice, right? It's like we're taking a look at the natural patterns and cycles and inputs, outputs, and everything from any given system, and that's what it is. And so So with my work with Roots and Culture and my book and stuff, is just to kind of give a new perspective on how we can move forward doing that, starting up businesses that are from a sense of place that, you know, we can give back to these cultures, specifically the ones beneath our feet, the soil and everything.
Yeah, that hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
Sean, thanks very much. Is there anything that you'd like to share? Just
I have a lot to share, and so I would say like the best way to hear that is, yeah, to visit my website. I'm gonna be coming up with a lot of, you know, one of my biggest passions is writing, so one of the big formats of my website is my blog. There'll be a social platform on there. It's all set up, actually. There is a social platform. There's a blog, which I have a bunch of writings that I need to kind of upload and edit a little bit. But like I said, that's all within the next week or two. Should be a lot rolling out here. So if any of you listening are interested, visit my website at rootscreateculture.com, and you can sign up for my newsletter. And if you want to show some support, you know, I have a subscription, kind of like a Patreon model. And for my patrons, we're going to be meeting each week for a live Q&A, and kind of an open discussion on all of these topics. And yeah, you'll get to hear me talk nonstop about all this. So I got lots to say.
That's great. Sean, we'll put all them links in the description. And
yeah,
John, thank you very much for coming on the show and sharing it again. If you think you've got value to that, if you give us a like, a subscribe, and a thumbs up. Also in the link, there is a link to our PDCD professional course, which we're just launching now, which we're basically taking someone from post-PDC and then teaching them digital design, how do you interact with customers, setting expectations. It's just that when you come out of a PDC, what do you do? So if you want to be a designer, we have a short course, 6 weeks, teaching you how to do that to get you off and running. We've also accessed a plant database. If that's something that interests you, just check out the link below. Sean, again, thanks very much.
Absolutely. And just to kind of add on to what Cormac was saying, and I can attest to the high caliber of design and, you know, all the effort you guys put in, you know, you and Crystal. And did I hear a Graham? Was he part of the?
No, it's Mike Jones.
Oh, Mike Jones. Oh, yeah. Okay. The plant data, that makes sense. And
right. Mike brought the plant database to him, so you can actually purchase a subscription to that plant database as well. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. So we have the designer's kit as well, which is Crystal's doing. And Crystal also has a special education course there for children with special needs. So that's really good.
That's awesome.
For learning. That's a really good course as well. That's free. And that's on the website as well. And then we have the PDC, the professional, we're calling it, which is just taking you, getting your designs up to standard. Crystal was our supervisor, so you know how strict she is on passing designs.
Oh, yeah, she was our team leader back in the day. I remember. Yeah, you guys are awesome. So
there's not much gets past Crystal.
I know. Yeah, and I'm so glad you guys are still at it, even better, so.
Thanks very much, Sean. We'll chat to everybody next week.